Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Third Culture Kid Virtual Online Forum, where our conversations about TCKs and faith come together. I am Jonathan, and I'm an MK from both America and Nigeria. TCK VOF is a place for people to share their own stories and to learn from others. It's a place people can safely explore the effects, benefits, and purpose of their cross-cultural upbringings. We also want to challenge TCKs and cross-cultural kids to think deeper about how the cross-cultural component of their lives is tied to their faith. This podcast is brought to you by Crew, a caring community passionate about connecting people to Jesus Christ. We have talked in this mini-series on work and career and how the concept of business, quote-unquote, is not really a concrete reality for many TCKs and CCKs. That is with one or two major exceptions, missionary work and military work as well. Today's panel are people who have grown up as third culture kids and have now decided to serve God as missionaries in their own right. Welcome. If you guys want to go ahead and introduce yourself, say your name, where you're from, slash where you grew up, whichever one is more comfortable for you, who you are currently serving with, and where.
Okay, so I don't mind going first. My name is Elizabeth. I lived in the Philippines from ages 2 to 11, and I lived in Orlando from ages 11 to 18. And currently I am in Phoenix, Arizona, doing bridges.
So my name is Rachel McCarthy, and I spent most of my childhood living overseas as well. When I was 6, my family moved to Togo, West Africa, and we spent 3.5 years there. And then when I was 10, we moved to China, and I lived there for 7 years. Basically until I graduated high school. At that point, I moved to Chicago and went to Moody Bible Institute. And through my time going to Moody, I did an internship with a place called Mission Training International, or MTI, which is in Colorado Springs. And that's where I serve now. And at MTI, we offer pre-filled training programs as well as debriefing programs.
My name is Lizzie, and I grew up in the States in Japan as a military brat. I am currently in Chicago serving as a missionary with a partnership between the Anglican Church and Crew doing college ministry in the South Side.
Something that we've talked about in this series already is the weird line that is the trajectory from college through career. And so with you guys specifically, could you guys walk us through the path that led you to becoming a missionary right out of college? Did you always want to be a missionary going in? Is that why you came? What kind of changed? So walk us through that path.
So for me, I always kind of grew up in the mission field, mission mindset. My parents are actually also on staff with Crew. I always had this concept of unreached people groups and people not knowing or not having access to Jesus. So that's just kind of always my path. But I always thought for the longest time that being a missionary meant going overseas, and to be able to work with international students, it meant that I had to be overseas doing it. But then when I was in college, I really felt like God was calling me to intern with the American Ministry of Crew. And at first I was really confused because I was like, this makes no sense. Like, God, I always told you I never wanted to live in America. Like, why are we making me do this? But I'm like, it's only going to be for a couple of years, so that's fine, you know. And then my first internship year is when I heard about Crew's ministry specifically reaches out to international students. And we were launching one on our campus. So, of course, I love international students. So I joined in helping launch it. My second internship year, I realized that, wow, I really love working with international students. And I felt like it was a really cool opportunity because it's like, if I just went overseas, I might only be able to work with people from that country. But it's like working with international students, I'm getting people from all over the world. And these people are more open to, I think, talking about Jesus than they would be in their own country. And then having grown up in America and in like an Asian country, I feel like I was being able to connect Americans with international students. And so I just saw this as an amazing opportunity to do it.
So for me, also growing up among missionaries, kind of surrounded by missionaries, I was able to witness both the joys and sorrows that come from living as a missionary. And I saw the impact of some of those pressures not only on missionaries, but also on their kids. And so in high school, I started developing more of a desire to care for missionaries and help them thrive rather than burning out due to those stresses they often experience. So that's when my dream to kind of become a counselor for missionaries was born. And so as a result of that, I pursued a human services degree at Moody for my kind of college education. And during that internship with MTI, I got to witness the amazing impact that training and debriefing can have on missionary families, just the big difference that it makes for them mm-hmm. on whether they have a really positive experience overseas and how much endurance they have on the field. And so then when TI asked me to consider coming back after I graduated, I was really excited to do that and to be able to be part of these families' lives. So now I kind of see my role as almost being a missionary to missionaries and just coming alongside them and helping them to thrive in what God's calling them to do.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, for sure. Well, ever since I was little, I've read books about famous missionaries from different countries. And my family has supported missionaries. In eighth grade, I heard a sermon about the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And I was like, hey, I could be a worker. This is cool. I'm going to do that. So kind of nonchalantly committed my entire life to ministry. And out of that, went to Moody Bible Institute, originally to study counseling, but I switched my major 3 times. So that was a great time. But my plan the entire time was to work with refugees in the States. And I even studied abroad in the Middle East. After I studied abroad, I thought, oh, missions just must not be for me. It's a very difficult experience. It's hard. Crossing cultures can be very challenging. So instead, I committed to pursue academia. But God had a different plan for me than I had for myself. Because at my school, I saw a poster for this partnership between CRU and the Anglican Church. And I saw that they taught pastoral skills. And I thought, that sounds amazing. I haven't gotten a lot of experience in studying pastoral skills. And I would love to be able to care for people's souls. And I also wanted to love and be loved by the church. I met up with pastors and leaders and became their first inaugural fellow at the Chicago Campus Initiative, which is the partnership between CRU and the Anglican Church. And now I'm at the Illinois Institute of Technology, building relationships with Muslim and Hindu students, which has been a blast because I love interfaith dialogue and I've really found a love for working specifically with American Muslim and Hindu students, because a lot of them don't feel like they quite fit in to American culture. And I also don't feel like I quite fit into American culture. So it's this great bond.
And Indians are so fun. They're my favorite type of people.
Lizzie, I feel like all of us have heard a version of that. The harvest is plenty, but the workers are few sermon. It's interesting that you guys are all serving nationally. I also went into Moody Bible Institute with the plan of like leaving the country and being a missionary and doing all the things. I remember distinctly like a year in having a conversation with my dad being like, so are you still planning on leaving the country? And I was like, yeah. He's like, well, because I was just talking to my neighbor about how easy it is to be a cross-cultural missionary in the U.S. because the world's kind of coming to you and you're in Chicago and all of the world is in Chicago. And we had a whole conversation. So it's interesting that all of you guys had that impulse and now you guys are all serving nationally in the U.S. And you spoke a little bit to this, Lizzie. How has your cross-cultural upbringing, or even just your nomadic upbringing, I guess is the best adjective for that, how has that affected your missionary service here in the U.S., both positively and negatively?
So for me, and most third culture kids, I'm sure, have felt this way, like never really fitting into any certain place or certain country. It's great because I feel like the positive of that is I am able to like somewhat immerse in Asian culture when I'm hanging out with my international friends. And then I'm also able to immerse in like American culture when I'm hanging out with my American friends. And both of those are really positive experiences. And I feel like it's perfect for my job But I feel like it's also like a negative because I feel like I never really fully fit in with any of them. Like sometimes when I'm with my international time, I don't look like them. I don't have the same culture as them. I am very Western in some senses. And then hanging out with my American friends, I understand them and I get them, but I don't always feel fully comfortable around them. And so I don't think it was really until a couple years ago that I realized that I can be both 100% Asian per se, as well as like 100% American. Like I always felt growing up, I had to choose. And I was like, oh, I want to choose Asian culture because Asian culture is more positive. But then I realized, I was like, you know, both cultures actually have very positive qualities. And so if I can join those two cultures and equally take, realize that there's negatives of both, but choose to apply to the positives. I remember I was talking to my Indian friend recently about this, and he actually gave me like the greatest compliment I could get. But he told me, he's like, you know, you are very Asian in some sense because you're very community-based and you feel like everyone is kind of your family. He's like, but it's really cool because you're also able to have that independence that he's like, in a lot of collectivist cultures, you have to be like everyone else and you can't get that independence. He's like, but I feel like you can do a mix of both. And it's really great that you can do that. And for me, that was really encouraging to me because I've always felt that I don't do a good job at mixing both. But yeah, so.
Yeah, I definitely would resonate with a lot of what Elizabeth was saying about being a TCK and the positive and negatives that go with that, or what I like to call a paradox. So in a similar way for me, I would say growing up kind of brought that challenge of not feeling at home, especially in the US. We traveled back to the States so many times for furloughs and other trips over the years. And there's so many comments about like, isn't it so great to be home? And of course, in my kind of angry kid, teenage self that was feeling misunderstood, I was like, no, you have no idea. This isn't my home. So just that struggle of not feeling a sense of belonging in the US, even though I am an American citizen. And so because of that, I always expected to live overseas, whether as a missionary or working as a counselor for missionaries or even something else. But that's just what I always expected because it's the lifestyle that I grew up with, I was used to, and what felt like home to me was kind of being in that TCK, MK space. And so it was really interesting as the Lord directed my steps towards MTI. And after I graduated college and began to try to discern my next steps, I really had to kind of examine how I viewed the States and even the areas in my own heart of pride of like being a TCK and living overseas, just re-examining like kind of what purpose does God have for my life, even if I'm not living overseas. I feel like I am coming to kind of a similar place of realizing that there's a lot of opportunities to serve the Lord in a really big way from the United States as kind of a launching place, because there's so many missionaries that are sent from here. So I found a joy in that, but it's definitely a challenge that I've had to kind of process and work through. The other thing I would say is more of the positive impact, but I think growing up cross-culturally, overall, a really positive experience for me, just getting to witness my parents and being able to participate in that myself. What really made the difference for me was that as I got older, the older that I got, the more choice I had in how much I was going to participate. Because I've seen a lot of MKs and especially teenage MKs who develop resentment against their parents or against missions or even God because of not having much choice in where they move to and having to be part of what their parents are doing. So I think for me, a lot of the reason why my experience overall was because I was invited to participate, but not forced into that.
For me, the effect of growing up cross-culturally was, well, a little bit of background first. From the age of 0 to 10, I moved 5 times. And my first memories are actually in Japan. of the blue-green ocean water, which is just gorgeous. And if you ever have a chance, I would highly recommend seeing it. The cultures that have most influenced me and my Irish-American family are Japanese, Irish-American, military, Arab, and of course, good old Southern hospitality. So beautifully and interestingly, most of the cultures that have influenced my family and I are hierarchical and also have clear honor-shame elements to it, which is just some good background for these negative and positive elements of growing up cross-culturally. Negatively, it has been difficult for me to sort through what it means to have so many different cultural influences and still be ethnically Irish-American. Mm-hmm. I find that I honor authority, but also have an honor complex versus a guilt complex. Mm-hmm. And then I also use indirect communication, but I and my body am Irish-American. And so that can be a little bit challenging just to sort through who am I and what is my identity culturally and ethnically. But positively, this mix of cultures has deeply influenced my ministry and just my direction in life, in that I find I have different values than most European Americans and thus connect almost better with Americans and internationals who are from different cultures than Europe. So this has been fantastic for growing in my faith as I see different aspects of God reflected in each culture that I interact with.
Final question, and normally this will be like our faith question, but I feel like all of this podcast has been about faith. So you guys have the unique experience where your defined service to God and your career, or at least job, are one and the same. Whereas for me or for non-missionaries, you can kind of segment that a little bit, like you have your work and you have church and you have God, and it shouldn't necessarily be segmented, but it can be.
Yeah.
And one caution that we got a lot in Bible school was make sure to figure out ways to make your time spent with the Bible not dry. And I feel like there's something similar that can fit in missionary work for you guys. What are things that you've done to ensure that your ministry doesn't necessarily become a quote unquote job? I mean, a shorter form of this question is, how do you combat burnout within your work?
I can go first. I would say there are two main ways that I found really helpful for fighting burnout and really maintaining my own health within my ministry, which directly impacts how well my ministry is going, right? Kind of where I'm at really affects what I'm doing. So the first one is setting boundaries for myself. And these really help me to identify kind of the difference between what I can control or do something about and what is beyond me. And there's so much in ministry that we want to do. People have a lot of needs that we would love to be part of ministering to. And so unless we're kind of careful learning about that, it's very easy to exceed our own capacities. So frequently at the end of a program at MTI, we kind of have like a 4-week program that's our training program. And then we have a 1-week program that's more of a debrief program. A lot of times, kind of at the end of one of those programs, in our own kind of staff outbrief where we debrief how it's been for us, someone will ask the question, what do you want to take with you? And what do you need to leave behind? And so a lot of times, I tend to finish a program wishing that I could have done more or gone deeper in relationships with these missionary kids and their families. And so that question always helps me to remember that ultimately I need to entrust them into God's hands because I can only do so much in their lives. Like they're only part of my life for a week, 4 weeks, maybe a bit beyond that. But at the end of the day, I'm moving on to a new group, maybe in a few days or in a week or two. I really have to learn how to kind of let them go into the Lord's hands and not continue to try beyond what I have capacity to do. So that's the first part, is just setting those boundaries for myself. And then the other thing I would say is having a regular soul care day or Sabbath. And I found that I really need these regular times with God that are longer. So more than just like an hour, but more like a whole day or half a day to really slow down and process and be able to connect with him. And part of what that does, having that Sabbath kind of time, is that it reminds me that God's love is not dependent on what I do for him or how much I do for him, but he loves me just as much on that day where I'm not serving anyone, I'm not doing anything. He loves me just as much when I'm resting. And we can only give to others what we are receiving from God. And so that's also part of why it's so important to have those times of just receiving from God so that we have something to give to others. And I definitely notice the difference in my own ability to serve others when I miss those soul care days or Sabbath days.
This is something that I struggle with on a consistent basis. This is something I'm still trying to navigate because some of my closest friends are the students I interact with. With international students, even more so than with American students, you can't just treat them necessarily like a project. Like you can't treat them like, oh, I'm going to go hang out with this person. It's going to be an hour long. Now with this person, it could be like 6 hours long. And so it's hard to like, for me to navigate. And also I just love all my international friends. I just feel at home, feel like totally alive and totally natural when I'm with them. And most of my international friends are not Christians. And so it's been hard for me to find that balance of desiring to hang out with international students and just enjoying that so much, but also like trying to find like growth, spend all your time trying to help people and not like pouring into your relationship with God, you're going to experience burnout. But I think it's just something that I still haven't really grasped, or I guess I wouldn't say I've reached burnout because like I said, I just enjoy hanging out with my international friends. But I know that if I don't find that Christian community, that burnout will happen and my spiritual walk with God will suffer. So I'm still trying to figure out how to properly do that. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah. It's hard to figure out what boundaries look like with different situations and types of ministries.
Totally agree. Fighting burnout and letting life with Jesus not become just a job, in that there are two things that I like to hold in tension. And one is that it is just a job. And two is it is also a way of life. So kind of two ends of a spectrum that you have to hold both sides, otherwise you don't have a spectrum anymore. And what I mean by letting ministry just be a job is, for me, it's been really helpful to have a specific place and locality where I'm getting paid to do ministry. For example, a college campus. And one of the boundaries I have is I do not work overtime. Once I hit my 40 hours, I am done. I do not come back to the campus, except for emergencies. But like regularly speaking, I find that I need that boundary in place that my work on a specific place will end. I'm not always available and able to be reached. But it's also ministry as a way of life in that we're called to reach all people of all places and localities and cultures. So I am called to live in a similar way to what I get paid to do everywhere. If I don't have capacity to love my roommates, to meet up with friends socially, if I don't have capacity to even meet up with students in a non-ministry way, just a friendship, coffee, hangout. Like if I don't have capacity for that, there's something that's like you're burning out. Lost neighbors and discipling younger friends really revitalizes my faith in a fresh way. And it just makes my job so much more natural and refreshing. Because I find that, oh, it's actually something, it's a way that I live, but I also in this specific locality, I get to stop. I'm not always working there. I also have space to spread out and find rest elsewhere. But ultimately, I would say the key to fighting burnout is realizing that my job is actually, ultimately, my job is to draw near to Jesus and be transformed by him. And it is out of that place of healing and transformation that I do work, not out of a place of lack or even a place of duty.
Mm-hmm. Preach it.
Wow. Well, that's a fantastic place to end it. Thank you guys so much for this awesome conversation. And I hope that you, our listeners, enjoy this discussion as much as I did. If you're so inclined, please leave a review and tell us how great we are. If you don't think we're super great, then just don't say anything. Please make sure to subscribe to us on whatever app you are listening to us on right now. And don't forget to follow both our blog and our Instagram. If you want to stay connected to us, ask a question, or have a topic idea that you would like to discuss in the future, you can click on the message button on Anchor to leave us a voice message. Thank you again for listening to TCK VOF, where our conversations about TCKs and faith come together. Hope you guys have a great rest of your week.